And the pitch to Kyle. Swung on, line deep to right. That one is on its way, and that one is gone.
Christmas.
Goodness, Kyle Schwarber is out of this world hot right now. Another home run for Schwarber. That's 16, and it's 5-0 Phillies.
16 for Kyle Schwarber. Welcome back.
That's crazy.
It is the Midday Show. Hugh Douglas, Joe Giglio. You guys with us, 215-592-9494. We'll get back to all your phone calls on the Sixers here and the Flyers who lose. But the Sixers really have our attention this morning because of how bad that was yesterday. I think the Embiid era has come to an end. It's a matter of how quickly the Sixers acknowledge this and do something about it. You know, they could waste their time another year if they want to just waste all our time. But it's over. They can't win without Joel Embiid. He's got to be off the team. And they need to build this thing around the guards and see where they can go from there. But Hugh, we did get a good weekend out of one of the teams here. That was the Phillies. So Friday night didn't go well, but they bounced back Saturday. They bounced back Sunday. They win 2 out of 3 against the Rockies. So another winning weekend for the Phillies. They pushed back to 500 here. And Hugh, we have some takeaways. I wrote down 5 things that caught my attention this weekend. The first one, Hugh, let's start with Kyle Schwarber. I mean, Hugh, he has 16 home runs. Quiet, 2 man. Yesterday. Yeah, tied for the major league lead with Aaron Judge now. Hugh, he's on pace for 63 home runs. I mean, last year felt... In the moment, didn't it feel like, oh, this is his best, right?
Like you were kind of concerned whether or not he could sustain it.
Career year. I mean, every player has one of those, right? He had 58 last year. 56, excuse me, Hugh. But 63 now is the pace he's on. And I looked this morning because I was just curious where he ranks now. So if you look at the best home run to at-bat ratio in the history of Major League Baseball, just the guys that hit home runs, the most prolific, you know, just times at-bat per home run. This is now the top 5 in the history of Major League Baseball. It is Mark McGwire, it is Aaron Judge, it is Babe Ruth, it is Barry Bonds, and it is Kyle Schwarber.
He is pretty impressive.
Fifth all. This is not just. I'm not talking about this season. I'm talking about all time Major League Baseball. McGwire, Judge, Ruth, Bonds, and Schwarber. I mean, Hugh. Sometimes I have to like remind myself we're not just watching a great Phillies player home run hitter. We're watching one of the greatest home run hitters ever.
Yeah. I mean, and I'm with you on that, Joe. To with all the turmoil that this team has had, you know, with firing a topper and everything, and then them to turn it around the way that they can turn around. When you said it, I mean, I've watched, but when you say it like that, 16, with everything that's going on, that's pretty impressive. That you just put your head down and you just do your job.
Are we going to get a 60 home run season out of Schwarber?
Feels like it might be the case.
Man,
can we at least get can I amend my Alec Bohm?
Well, we're going to get to him about this weekend, but
okay,
what do you want to...
I want a minute. Like, the 30 seems a little off.
Oh, I know. Even though he hit 2 on Saturday,
yeah,
it was a good day.
How about 15? Can we go half 15?
I'm not going to let you do that today, but if you want to...
Okay, we can workshop.
If you want to guarantee that Schwarber hits 60,
no,
I like that. That's a fun one.
15, can I amend it just a little bit? Just the only time that I asked for this.
You know what? Go for it. If that's really what you want to do.
It still feels like it might be lofty, huh?
Yeah, of course it does. But it's not lofty for Schwarber to get to 60.
No, I mean, it's not.
This guy's an unreal power hitter.
Which would mean 400 this season.
Wow. So the pursuit of 500 is like
right there. You were talking about, what were we talking about
he's
last year?
He's hitting 500 as a Phil. Yeah. It's like, there's no doubt in my mind.
Right, I agree.
He's going to quietly have back-to-back 50 home run seasons.
He is the most prolific home run hitter I've ever seen in a Phillies uniform. It surpasses Howard.
Yeah. It's just so casual.
I know.
That's what I'm saying. That's the thing. When you talk about everything that's been going on for you, look up and you're like, 16 home runs. Oh, that's okay.
Well, the other thing is there's a little bit of this generation's David Ortiz. I think because when we got him in his career, we didn't talk about his – like he was DFA'd by the Cubs, right? Like Ortiz was DFA'd by the Twins and the Red Sox just picked him up. Like when we got Kyle Schwarber, he was at a crossroads of his career. People wondered, is he any good anymore? Is he just okay? To do what he's done in a Phillies uniform has been remarkable. So Schwarber, pair of home runs yesterday. Here we also get a home run from Bryce Harper. And Bryce Harper has really started to pour it on, I'd say the last 5 weeks or so. Here, you look at Bryce Harper's number. Now, he doesn't quite have 16 home runs like, you know, Kyle Schwarber does, but he does have 10, and his numbers across the board.
They're hitting about like 281.
What's that OPS now? 9?
It's in the nines. Yeah.
It's in the nines.
It's up there.
They're both top 10 in the National League.
Yeah, I think maybe 950 and Schwarber's 951 or the other way around.
It's pretty darn good. Yeah. I mean, Hugh, this if you had asked me what a Bryce Harper bounce back elite-ish kind of season would look like, this is what it looks like right now.
Yeah, and he's quietly, I mean, you know, you talk about what he's been able to do, man. I mean, you know, those two guys bouncing back,
yep.
It's at the time where we needed it the most. It still feels kind of weird that this kind of all, I mean, he was trending in that direction, but it does feel kind of weird that it all happened after Topper left.
They woke up. I mean, as a team, they woke up.
Yeah, I mean, you know, that shock to your system tends to do that to you. So, yeah. I get it.
So Harper has a ninth. I'm looking at this 938 right now. 23 walks, 26 strikeouts. He's been those two have been one of the best duos in all the National League. So that's all the good. Now, a guy that had not done much until a couple days off, your guy, Hugh, Alec Bohm on Saturday, hit himself up not just one, but a pair of home runs. And then was this a shot at me or a shot at Don Mattingly? I'm not sure. After the game on Saturday. So, you know, we had the discussion last week. When he was pulled out of the game, I guess it was, Wednesday night he was taken out of the game?
Yeah, whether or not that was the last time we're going
to
see him.
Yeah, well, like, whatever. To me, that signaled he was done as an everyday player, that they were treating him more as a rotational guy than just your everyday third baseman. And I said it the other day, and Bohm then sat for 2 days, right? Didn't play on Thursday, didn't play on Friday. Mattingly had him clear his head. He comes back in the lineup on Saturday. Boom! A pair of dingers. Let's hear Bohm after the game on Saturday.
Yeah, I mean, obviously, as like an everyday player, you want to be out there and do what you can to help, but at the same time, having a day to kind of just take a breather physically, mentally, and all that is definitely can be helpful. And you know, I think it was helpful for me. Baseball's a hard game; it's a weird game, but I think it just kind of reinforces that the things I'm doing and things I'm working on are right, and I think just keep working in that direction and keep working on those same things and, you know, take it day by day.
Now, Hugh, I need your take on this. Was that a shot at me for questioning if he's an everyday player or the manager for pulling him out of a game and sitting him?
I don't think it was a shot. I think it was a reflection of what he actually needed because, to be fair, the day off did help him kind of focus a little bit.
2 days off.
Well, yeah, and then he kind of acknowledged that. So yeah. I think it was one of those things. Kyle, I want to be messy.
Direct shot?
No,
hold
on. No, it was not a direct shot.
It was such a direct shot.
I don't think so. I think it was a reflective moment and him being honest with the situation. That's what I think.
You don't do that as an everyday player.
Well, yeah, you do. Because sometimes, right, sometimes
not after 2 days off.
Sometimes you can't see the forest for the trees. He was in the moment.
So you know, it's not just 2 days off. He was taken out of a game before that. So pinch hit, then 2 days off.
Yeah. So he couldn't see the forest for the trees.
Whether it's a shot, probably not a shot at Joe, right? But
more likely,
it's a message he wants to get out there.
Yes.
That I am an everyday player.
But you have to realize that you needed some time off and you got that time.
No,
right?
I get that. I'm just saying, like, to say I'm an everyday player was calculated.
Okay, I get that part.
Like, don't forget who I am and what I've been. I play every day.
But if you're being fair, he wasn't playing like an everyday player.
No, he was playing terrible.
No, you see what I'm saying? And he needed a couple days off.
Yeah. Oh, I completely agree. Also, like, you do have to give Mattingly credit for it because 2 days off is rare, right?
Yes.
You see a guy take a day off and then come right back.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
But it's rare that it's like it's extended for multiple days.
The whole thing is a win for Mattingly,
especially
if Bohm just starts to go back to being at least okay, right? Because that we'll look at it as the inflection point of his season. If he bounces back from the first month and a half to, even if he's just okay here on out, that is a big inflection point. So that's a win for Mattingly. Obviously, a win for the Phillies to get Bohm going a little bit. Pair of home runs Saturday. All right, two more quick ones. Then we'll get back to your phone calls here. Hugh, you want to go to the really good one that we're not talking enough about or the really bad one we're not talking
about? Let's go bad first.
Okay. Are we close to having a Trey Turner conversation around here?
Are we close?
Yeah.
I think we've been having it for a while.
You know what I mean by that.
We've been kind of, you know.
Well, I mean, he's having a terrible season. Can we just be honest about this? Trey Turner, let's pull his numbers up after yesterday. As yesterday, he was an 0-for. He did have 4 hits on Saturday, but he had an 0-for-6 on Friday night. Trey Turner now, as we are about a quarter of the way through the season, is hitting .240 with a .289 on-base percentage and a .353 slugging. That while playing a below-average shortstop. He's been a negative player so far this season. And yesterday, Bob Nightingale wrote USA Today, quote, scouts are alarmed at Philly shortstop Trey Turner's rough start. Turner, the two-time batting champion who had a league-leading .304 last season, is off to the worst start of his career and has been erratic defensively. Hugh, that line in there about scouts being alarmed, that one, it's like, it's not just, because sometimes results could be bad, but it'll be fine. Scouts alarmed tell me that the people that are watching him every day are like, I don't know, this doesn't look right.
Like he's like he might be, you might have to move him or something.
Or he's on decline.
Yeah. I mean, you've been kind of on that boat. That's why I'm like, I don't understand how we're talking about it. We've been kind of on that boat for the last couple of years.
I guess what I meant is this season, it's been more about the manager. It's been about Harper's bounce back. It's been about, you know, I just think we've kind of let the trade thing go the first 40 games of the season.
Yeah, because I feel like it probably hasn't been the biggest issue, to your point, that the Phillies have had to deal with. But now it feels like they're on a little bit of a run, so it might be something that's going to be at the forefront in the next couple of days.
It just didn't feel like he was... I guess he was like fourth on the list of like things that we were upset about the first month of the season, because I think at a certain point I think a lot of us had resigned to the fact that it was going to be a lost season.
Yep.
So then at that point you're not focusing as much on how individual guys are doing.
But I mean, now that they're bouncing back.
Harper was there because they had the back and forth with Dombrowski. That was in the spotlight. And then of course the Bohm thing, because of what we know about him going into this season,
right. The
issue off the field and everything. So like, I think that was, those two guys were in the microscope, and then the pitching staff sort of just, why is this going as badly as, or like, we didn't expect it to be this bad, Lizardo, Sanchez, in the beginning of the season. Like, so now that we're back and like the team is, I guess, dug themselves out of the hole, then the individuals become, you know, the microscope's on them more.
And
so the Trey thing, it's so almost like smack me in the face. I'm like, oh yeah, that's right. Trey sucks this
year. It's not a small sample anymore, right? Like the first two or three weeks, you kind of just like, all right, one good day could change the whole season. Mm-hmm. It's been almost a quarter of this. He's played 40 games. I mean, that's a quarter of the season, and he's been bad.
Magic wand coming back out.
What's that?
Magic wand coming back up?
I haven't thought about
it. You're going to undo the contract.
Yeah. Well, we might give everyone a chance to do that again. All right, let's end before we go back to the phone lines here with one more thing.
What we got?
That was noticeable over the weekend. Do you know who is now the league leading hitter in baseball, like the best batting average in all of Major League Baseball? A guy that on Friday, I asked Scott how he would kind of assess what kind of player
he is. Can I ask a question?
Yes.
Is he hitting 353 right
He's
now?
He's hitting 353.
Ooh, that's an easy one then.
You got?
Marsh.
Brandon Marsh. Speaking of flying under the radar, like, I think we just accepted that he's more of a platoon player, right? He's not a superstar. He's not even, but you know what he might be? An all-star. I mean, he's hitting 353.
Yeah, that sounds like some all-star numbers right there.
You know what it sounds like to me if he keeps this up or close to it?
What's
he
that?
Might be the starting left fielder in the all-star game. He's hitting 353.
Okay.
I mean,
up Ted Williams' numbers.
Unbelievable. And if you go back to last year, remember he was 0 for April? He went on the rehab, so he got hurt.
Yeah.
If you look at his numbers over the last calendar year, right? So 1 year ago today to now, it's 312 batting average, 361 on base, 842 OPS. He's been a really good player for a long time. Speaking of going under the radar, how good Brandon Marsh has become has gone on the radar. I don't know how else to say it right now besides he's really good.
Yeah, man, he's doing his job. When you talk about the lineup and what the daycare used to be, he's representing.
Well, he's become by far the best of those three.
Yeah, he's representing for the daycare.
286 batting average versus lefties, too.
Yeah, I mean, he's got to play every day now.
Yeah.
I've noticed the last 2 weeks, they've been sitting Crawford against the lefty.
Yep.
So Marsh just slides to center.
Which I like. Good.
Yeah, I mean, how could you not have him in the lineup every day, right? When you think about the team right now, I would say Harper, Schwarber are clearly the two best hitters. He's their third best hitter. I mean, he's got to be in that lineup every single day. What a start for his season. 215-592-9494. All right, Phils win 2 out of 3. Off today. A road trip now. Boston and Pittsburgh this weekend as the Phillies try. So what are we now? 3 under .500? I think it's 3 under.
19 and 22.
Trying to think when 500's coming. Now, Boston has not had a good season. Pittsburgh, though, is pretty good. That will not be an easy series this weekend with their pitcher.
They're okay.
Yeah, but they're better than
if we run in the Skeens.
I think Sunday might be Skeens Wheeler.
Ooh.
I think that's a fun one. All right, let's go to the phone lines here on all this, specifically the Sixers. Jay in West Philly is up on WIP. Jay?
What up, Jay?
What up, Hugh?
What's up, man?
Who?
What's going on?
These knuckleheads ask for the truth. Then when and be telling the truth, everybody want to get whiny and pouty over there.
So the truth is that it was a good season for him?
Why don't you talk? He asked him a question. He said it was good for him.
Oh, great.
That was his success.
Yeah, and guess what?
He
can say what he wants, and I could say that's a loser answer. Go ahead.
So stop whining and crying. Mm-hmm. You saw. Now let's talk about your point guard, your fake Allen Iverson that everybody loved. Where was he at?
Well, he didn't play well enough.
Where was he at?
He didn't play well enough, Jay.
Oh, now he didn't play well. Now you want to move off from Embiid. You said the Embiid era over, right?
It's over. It's over.
Okay, so let's talk about this fake superstar that y'all wanted to build a team around.
Mm-hmm.
Where was he at when he was getting cooked by Brunson?
Well, Brunson's a better player than him, Jay.
Jay,
hold on. Hold on a second.
Ain't no hold on.
How about you hold on? Jay, guess what? Here's what I don't need with this conversation. I don't need the, you make a point and go, oh, why don't you shut up? You want to have a back and forth? Have a back and forth. I'm just like Jay.
Stand up, ain't
well, I'm not going to stand up on Jay. Jay, like, a week ago, you called and told me I know nothing about basketball, and Joel Embiid is a top five player. He's not even in the stratosphere of the five best players in the NBA. And if you think that after watching these playoffs and yesterday, you're nuts, man. Like, it's one thing to be a fan of a player. It's another thing to understand the sport you're watching. He's not close. Is Maxey going to ever be good enough to lead a team to a championship? I don't know. The odds are probably not. But you know what I will continue to do? I'll bet on Maxey continuing to get better because he's continued to get better every year. Nobody thought Tyrese Maxey would be an all-star player drafted where he was drafted, and he continued to get better. So I will bet on Maxey's future, and I will bet on Edgecombe's future. If you're betting on Embiid's future, you're bankrupt already, Jay. Go ahead.
You go ahead and be broke betting on Maxey. He's sitting there. He did it
so
again.
So, Jay, what is your... Jay, hold on. Hold on. Jay, hold on. What is your plan for the Sixers? Bet on Embiid?
What he got? He got cooked. You betting on a
what is your plan
and
for the
step up?
Do you think enough? Do you think Joel Embiid could lead the Sixers to a championship?
Did you see that series?
No. Yes. Did you?
Did you see the series where he shot 12 shots?
Do you think the Sixers can win with Joel Embiid? Do you think the Sixers can win with Joel Embiid?
Go ahead and let go and be, and you'll be in the lottery again.
Do you think the Sixers can win with Joel Embiid?
They have been winning with him.
Oh,
you wanted to play defense on everybody, right?
I wanted to play defense on one person, Jay. Jay, Mitchell Robinson. Mitchell Robinson. Shut enough. Mitchell Robinson, who probably has a 7-inch vertical jump. He's one of the least athletic big men at this point in his NBA career. He can't move. Dunked on Embiid on Friday night. Did you see that, Jay?
And they had it at the game the next day.
I don't want Embiid to play defense on everyone. I want him to play defense on one person. One. He was cooked by Bridges, who can't even dribble. He was cooked by Robinson, who can't even jump. He's cooked as a defensive player. He is a one-dimensional, part-time player. That's what Joel Embiid is, Jay. I don't understand why this is so hard. Like, why? Why is it so hard to see? It's over, Jay. They can't win with him.
They can't win with Max. You want to take the easy road out.
That's fine. That's fine. Jay, that's fine. They may not be able to win with him. They won't win with Embiid. Don't you see the difference?
And they won't win with Max. You're sitting there pumping all these dudes up. And then you want to talk about these bum dudes.
What are you talking
who
about?
Who pumped up Maxey today? Who said he played well at all? What are you talking about?
You ain't say nothing about him. It's all Embiid. He got to guard everybody. He got to score every basket down there. You want him to stop everybody on the team. Where was the rest of these dudes? Where was Edgecombe at? Where was Paul George
he
at?
Where was Edgecombe at? He was 20 years old. 20.
I don't give a damn what he is. He getting paid. I don't give a damn what he is. Don't tell me 20 there. In the league, he playing. He getting paid.
Thank you,
Mike. Y'all
want to
bring up money about everybody else?
He didn't win anything. He doesn't know a damn thing about basketball. How many 20-year-old players are helping teams win playoff series? How many?
You don't know nothing about basketball.
How many 20? How many?
What do you know about basketball?
Jay,
you get on here with the
Jay,
same
how many 20-year-old players are helping teams win playoff series this season? Tell me. How many players that are 20 years old helped their team win a playoff series? You want to go through them? Yeah. Cooper Flagg. Flagg not in the playoffs. Con Knipple out in the play-in.
Con Knipple.
Okay? Ace Bailey on a terrible team. How many 20-year-old players helped their teams win Game 7? To come on here and rip Edgecombe, you are clueless about the sport, man. This series is not about VJ Edgecombe. He's 20 years old. The fact that he's on the court with these guys is a testament to how great he's going to be. That is someone to believe in. Like, the Embiid people are I've never met a group of people. You make the Jalen Hurts people look bright, and you're a Jalen Hurts guy. You make the Hurts people look bright. At least he actually has a heart.
You're turning red, bro.
I'm tired of it, man. I'm tired of it. Like, it's so stupid.
Yeah, we got Hugh Bud swept twice this weekend.
Okay? No, we didn't. I'm just taking it all in. I'm just stupid. You know, my job today is to try to try to give you an insight on how folks might be feeling.
Huh?
Yeah, that's my job. I'm trying to give you insight.
You want to rip Edgecombe again, or you want to sound like a dummy?
You sound like a dummy. You don't know nothing about sports, and you're talking tough behind the microphone. That's talk sports. And when you want to be talking all bumping your gums behind there, that's talk sports. And when you want to talk about the guy, yeah, he's 20. Yeah, he's 20, getting paid. He's supposed to do that. He a professional, right or wrong?
Right. So he gets paid about. Hold on. You want to have a back and
forth?
How much does he get paid less than the center?
I don't give a damn how much less he gets paid. He's a professional. He's on the court. And he's making plays.
Are you going to stop crying about Embiid and just wake up?
Let's talk about your boy Maxey. Let's talk about that.
What do you want?
What did he do?
He didn't play.
Jay,
he didn't play well enough. The problem is, I'm done. Jay, I said this before, and I have been on WIP for 13 years. I have never spoken to a bigger dope than Jay. It is amazing. I've never spoken to anyone who understands less about what they're watching than that caller. To call in today after that series and this season and to make it, VJ Edgecombe wasn't good enough. Oh, breaking news, the 20-year-old isn't ready to win a championship.
That was one of his worst, for sure.
I mean, holy hell, to get on the 20-year-old who started all year, and guess what, has to pick up the slack because the center takes half the season off to rip VJ Edgecombe. Get the hell out of here. Don't ever call. When VJ Edgecombe is a 5-time All-Star in the NBA, don't call the show again. Because you're a dope. You can't see what's in front of you. Of all the people to rip, that kid? Why don't we put Porter Martone on the chopping block next? Yeah, he didn't score enough. Yeah, dummies, he's 19. Like, you have to be a...
Self-edit.
It's just not fair. Like, we're going to rip the 20-year-old player who busted his ass. You know what? How about
and showed you some bright spots.
Well, also, maybe he hit a wall because, the star player making $60 million? Oh, he had to miss half the season. So VJ Edgecombe, who started the season at 19, has to play every minute of every game because Joel Embiid's hurt again. To rip Edgecombe, get out of here, man. Like, I don't care that you're a Joel Embiid fan. I'm tired of these individual fan people. I'm not a Joel Embiid fan. I want the Sixers to win. I'm not a Jalen Hurts fan. I want the Eagles to win. When you make it all about one person, you sound ridiculous. Ridiculous.
And to be fair, it's never all about one person, but when you have one person that has been here as long as Joel Embiid has been here, it's kind of tough to overlook his contribution or lack thereof in a situation like this. And that's what it is. You follow the money. When you have stuff like this, granted, Tyrese Maxey is looked at as one of the leaders, but we all know that he's not there yet. Joel Embiid is going to take more of this than anybody else because, the money's a part of it and the fact that he's more decorated than the other guys. I mean, that's just the reality of the situation.
Yeah, I don't understand how we do that. Like, how do you take away from the series? What about VJ Edgecombe? Like, what are you talking about?
I mean, but some
about?
Do. Some do, and some don't look at it like say, for instance, if... We equated to football. If Jalen goes out there and he has a bad game, even though it's on all the other 10 guys, Jalen's probably gonna get the brunt of it. All depends on how his performance was in that loss.
It's the common denominator, guys. I mean that's the point. Yeah. Like I don't know. I never said they're gonna win a title next year. Maxey and Edgecombe leading the way, but they need to move forward.
It's almost like we've lost in the second round for years before VJ Edgecombe.
VJ Edgecombe was 10 years old when we started making the playoffs.
Chess process. Yeah,
if we want to talk about somebody who's innocent,
him.
VJ is very innocent.
I mean, he busts his ass for what he is at this level. He busts his ass in his playoff series.
All right. I need a break. All right. 215-592-949. Another twist of the knife. What the stadium looked and sounded like. It. And now we're going to get I Told You So Douglas. So that's going to be a wonderful,
the hits just keep on going.
Wonderful next segment.
Nah, I'm going to be more measured. I'm going to give y'all a
You better shut your mouth.
And what some of the players had to say about it. That's next. Midday Show. Sports Radio 94 WIP. Oh, that's me. Great.
You are on top of things.
All right. We have dreams of another championship with our teams. Well, we did, but that ended this weekend. Be the world champion in your neighborhood with an upgrade to your home with my friends at Pella Windows and Doors. When it comes to replace your windows and doors, experience matters. At Pella Windows and Doors, their expert consultants help you find the perfect fit for your home and your budget with flexible pricing and financing options designed around you. You'll get energy-efficient products backed by some of the best warranties in the business, including installation. And if you ever sell your home, those warranties transfer to the new homeowner. That's why your neighbors trust Pella. Right now, get 40% off installation or 0% APR for 60 months. Book a free in-home consultation today by calling 877-98-PELLA. That number again, 877-98-PELLA, or visit PellaPhilly.com. That's PellaPhilly.com. And tell them Joe Giglio sent you.